Hello and welcome to another fun-filled episode of the Movie Thoughts Podcast. I am your host, Dominic Tartamella. And yes, it is the fun-filled podcast, me spewing my thoughts on film, new movies, old movies, all that fun fucking stuff. How's everybody doing? Good. We got the Oscars this week. They kind of snuck up on me this year. It was funny because a couple of months ago, I kept checking, because I always forget what month the fucking Oscars are in, and I kept checking, I was like, oh, when the Oscars coming up, I'd Google it, and I would see March, and I was like, oh my god, that's so far away, and then the beginning of this week, I didn't realize that, like, the upcoming Sunday was Oscar Sunday, and it kind of, like, sprung on me, I was like, oh, when is that, and I Googled it again, and I was like, oh, shit, the Oscars, I've probably said it on this podcast, I mean, I miss the days of the Billy Crystal Oscar times in the 90s and all that fun stuff. You know, it's kind of gotten annoying. I think that sometimes movies, the decisions are like all over the place. Which, you know, it's cool when you see a lot of different movies win. But sometimes I think there's other motives behind it and the voting. And they feel like, oh, they got to make up for something that didn't win one year or whatever the fuck. And it gets annoying, the politics of the Academy Awards. But I, as a movie fan, as somebody who grew up watching the Oscars and enjoying it, I still have a place. You know, there's definitely been a couple of years when I didn't pay that much attention. Obviously, the whole Will Smith happened. Will Smith, Chris Rock thing happened. And he fucking slapped him. And listen, Will Smith... Everybody used to love Will Smith, right? He used to be the guy that you love. Like, I love Will Smith. Like, most of my life, I loved Will Smith. He was a guy in fucking Men in Black. Even movies like Wild Wild West that were pieces of shit. You know, you still enjoyed him. His whole damn, you know, his whole thing he did. I appreciate it. And Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I grew up on that. And then, like, in the last years, he's gotten annoying. You know, he's gotten annoying. You see the videos and him and Jada Pinkett, whatever the hell's going on in their life, which nobody gives a shit about. And then, like, he did the slap. And not only you slap somebody, like, you slap Chris Rock. Like another super likable guy, right? Another fucking guy that I love. I love his comedy, you know, even back to his SNL days and shit like that. And I lost a lot of respect for Will Smith. I think a lot of people did, but... I don't give a shit about Will Smith anymore. It's like, listen, I'll see certain movies. You know, it's not a pushing. Him being in the movies is not, like, going to push me to go see it. I might see a movie if it looks decent, you know, or whatever. But I'm kind of off Will Smith. It's kind of just, he lost me. He lost me with that slap and whatever the fuck goes on in his life. With his wife, but whatever. I don't give a shit. But the Oscars. Apparently, I was getting at something here. The Oscars, right? They banned him for 10 years, I believe. And rightfully so. Fuck him. Because, like, he walked away with that from that unscathed, as far as I'm concerned. And he got a fucking Oscar, too. But it goes to show you, like, out of all this guy's probably wanted an Oscar a lot of his adult acting life. And, like, then you finally get it, and you overshadowed it. And you're winning of it by fucking being a dick and slapping somebody. Like, you're a jerk off. Anyway, enough of my rant. I'll watch the Oscars. I'm actually excited this year to watch it. I'm gonna try to, like, look past certain things, but I think we all know what it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be a fucking Oppenheimer sweep. I think Oppenheimer's gonna take a lot of the stuff. Oscar. I don't know. Oscar predictions. I don't know if I'm gonna get into the Oscar predictions. I mean, I think Nolan will win for Best Director. I think Best Picture will be Oppenheimer. Best Actor should be Cillian Murphy. You know, I don't know if it's going to win everything. You know, The Holdovers is another movie there, and Paul Giamatti was great in that. I think The Holdovers may win, like, Best Screenplay, or Best Original Screenplay, rather. And we'll see. I don't know. Maybe it won't. You never you know. It is the Oscars. You never know. You never know. It might be something completely different. It might be an upset. We'll see. But I might do an Oscar-centric episode. Maybe like an after-Oscars kind of thing and my reaction or whatever. Maybe I'll do something like that. I don't think I'm going to do full-on predictions because you know, I could sit here and name my predictions, and it's like, am I going to name what I think the best song is going to be? Is it going to be I'm Just Ken, or I don't know, maybe, possibly, but we will see. But today, I'm talking about one movie in particular. But before I get into that movie, I'm going to briefly talk about another movie I watched last night, which is an Amazon film, and that movie is called Ricky Stenicki. Ricky Stenicki, that's right. This film stars John Cena, Zac Efron, Jermaine Fowler, a bunch of other people, Andrew Santino, and it's directed by Peter Farrelly, who is, of course, part of the Farrelly Brothers, who did Kingpin, Dumb and Dumber, There's Something About Mary, like Me, Myself, and Irene. Me, Myself, and Irene. I'm so used to saying Eileen because my wife's name is Eileen, so I almost thought I made a mistake there. See how that fucked up my mind? But anyway, Me, Myself, and Irene, they've done great fucking comedies over the years, but at the same time, they also did Dumb and Dumber, too, which I really wanted to like that when it came out. I really wanted to, because you got Jeff Daniels back, you got Jim Carrey back, and it's just fucking, hey, listen, it ended up being okay. I own it. I don't know, I own movies I shouldn't probably own, but I own it. And I've watched it several times since, and it's like, okay, I'm okay with it, but it's not, it doesn't hold a candle to the original Dumb and Dumber, but that's a whole nother podcast I could go down, the comparison of Dumb and Dumber versus Dumb and Dumber 2, but Ricky Stenicki, I saw the trailers, and it seemed pretty funny. I like John Cena, I like the choices he's making as an actor, a lot of them were oriented in comedy, I like what he does with it, you know, whether it's Peacemaker or whatever movies he popped up in. So I saw the trailers to this and said, you know, I'm going to watch it. And then I saw one of the Farrelly brothers did it. And I was like, all right. He also does the show Louder Milk that's on Netflix now, an older show that now is kind of trying to get revived on Netflix, which I did enjoy. I watched the 3 seasons of it. I binged it and I did enjoy that. So I went into this pretty optimistic saying, okay, hopefully it's a raunchy R-rated movie, comedy, and it is, it doesn't really hit the marks that I wanted it to. It starts off pretty funny. I guess it's worth a watch. Listen, if you have Amazon Prime and you're fucking sitting around, clicking around on your phone, and you got nothing to do, it's worth a watch. John Cena is he's funny at it. Everything he does is funny. He's probably the strongest part of the movie. Those other side parts played by, like, Zac Efron and shit, like, they're good. You know, I always like Zac Efron. It just doesn't hit the way I wanted it to hit. You also got, like, William H. Macy in there. He's in a couple funny scenes. But it's a decent little, like, R-rated throwaway movie. A movie you would have rented, on a whim from Blockbuster or the video store back from the 90s. And you're going to get a lot out of it. No. Is it a classic or anything like that? But I can see some people enjoying it. And I think there's enough little giggles that you pop some popcorn, you fucking watch it. But that's on Amazon, as I said. All right, worth the watch, past the time, whatever. It's not worse than anything, any other shitty comedy that's come out recently, right? But the main movie I'm talking about right now is the one I just got out of, and that is Imaginary, a new horror film from Blumhouse. If you've seen the trailers, there's a teddy bear. The trailers have the classic song, "It Was Just My Imagination." Pretty decent little teaser I remember seeing. And then, I think there was another trailer I saw, and I was like, all right, it looks okay. It wasn't really like something that was on my, must-see list. But I figured a new horror movie, I love horror, I'll go check it out. Interesting concept, kind of been done, similarly. There's been more movies where the dolls or something comes to life, and this puts, like, a new spin on it, because it's, like, an imaginary, bear, and maybe he turns into a monster, and, Blumhouse, you know, it's kind of hit or miss with Blumhouse, right? You have your good movies, and then you have your movies that are kind of, like, meh, you know, Megan, which recently was by them, like, was one of those movies I just felt like it didn't hit. You know, it could have been a lot better. It was just, it wasn't really gory because it was rated PG-13. Obviously, they were trying to tap into a younger audience too. And it just didn't deliver. Like, it had, like, decent little, it should have been, it's funny because with Blumhouse, sometimes they have these concepts like Megan or like this imaginary, and they just don't, they don't hit the mark. You know, they're good concepts and they kind of feel wasted. And I guess that's kind of, you know, teasing to how I feel about the movie. I'll get that out of the way right away. And I just really didn't like it. I just felt like there's a movie with this story that could have been a lot better, a lot scarier. They could have utilized the bear a little bit more, which I'll get into in a minute. But overall, kind of like a meh. Kind of like a meh little horror movie. The film was directed by Jeffrey Wadlow, who directed Truth or Dare, Fantasy Island, and Kick-Ass 2, which really wasn't that good. And I don't want to blame this guy. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, he seems like he's a capable director as far as, like, putting whatever, you get a movie made. But Kick-Ass 2 was one of those ones that really didn't hit me the way I wanted it to as well. But the movie stars DaWanda Wise, Tom Payne, Tegan Burns, Piper Braun, and a few other people. And it's just like, one part of it, you know, you have this imaginary bear. This bear with these, and there, the movie is like an hour and 45 minutes, but like, you're waiting for shit to happen, right? You're waiting to be creeped out. And there's some little jump scares here and there, in the beginning, in the middle, sprinkled out. But you never really get to, you know, you never really get that fucking, those big scare moments. And they never really give you enough of the bear, as far as I'm concerned. You have this creepy bear, and they're doing a thing with it throughout the movie where it's like, all right, they're showing him maybe a little turn, maybe a little creepy stare. You know, there's one sequence in particular, and I may be a little slight on spoilers here. I'm not going to go full on into it. And if I do, I will say, but like, there's one sequence when like a character's like friend, boyfriend, whatever you want to call him, is like kind of getting pursued by the bear at some point to a degree. And there's a creative way they do it with the string, and it just never delivers. Like, nothing happens. And that's basically, in a nutshell, the whole fucking movie. Because you just feel like you didn't get enough of what they could have did potentially with this. And it's like, it kind of got like vibes of, it feels a little bit like, I don't want to say it's similar, like subject matter, the magical nature of it. It feels a little bit like Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, when you watch one of those Nightmare on Elm Streets, whether it's the good ones or the fucking shitty sequels, and there's cool dream sequences, right? There's cool dream sequences, and there's cool visual effects of that time. And they, you know, in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, she goes into that fucking dream world. And it reminded me of that kind of stuff. And those were the things I liked about it. There was some creepy stuff that was like, this is good, but there's just not enough of it. As far as the actors, like, I don't want to bash the actors, but a lot of the acting, and maybe it was probably more so the script, you know, more so the script and just the execution of the material. It just felt like meh. It felt like a little bit like a TV movie at times, like a Hallmark movie. There's a guy in this movie, and I don't want to shit on the guy. He's like, I'm not even going to bring up his name because I don't even fucking know it. I don't even care. But like, he plays like the husband in this movie, and he just seems like he's in a different movie. He seems like just such a generic character, and he's like, he doesn't even belong in this movie. It's like, why are you here? He doesn't fit with the family. And he just kind of, he's there to just disappear, essentially. Because then later on in the movie, he just disappears, and you really never even see him again. But, you know, there's two daughters in this movie, a little girl, a teenager girl. They're decent. You know, like, I don't want to shit on them and say like they're the worst actors in the world. But yet again, I think it's the material, because it's goofy. There's certain things that happen that are supposed to be twists. You know, like there's one moment where it's like there's a twist is revealed, and a twist I honestly should have saw coming. Because I saw a ton of shit coming. That's one thing about this movie, very predictable, too. You know, you see shit coming a mile away. One thing I didn't see coming, should have been a bigger surprise, right? You should have been like, oh, okay, because it is kind of a good idea, but it's like the way they execute it and they it, it's you, I couldn't help but laugh. I honestly couldn't help but laugh because it was so goofy, the dialogue and just how it was going down and the music cues. It was like, this is just fucking stupid. It's funny and it's stupid. There's also a lot of exposition, like just characters, minor characters that are like somehow know everything about what went down without you having any knowledge. Like without, there's no mention of these characters early in the film, and then it's like, oh, this character knows every single detail. Like, and it just feels like it's a dump. It feels like it was a paragraph, that it was just a dump that came out of somebody's mouth. And that was kind of stupid. But there are creepy moments in the film that I think worked. There's some creepy imagery, especially that I was like, ooh, I feel kind of ghoulish, you know? And I like that stuff. I like that stuff about it. I like there's a dream world kind of thing where they go in, and yet again with the fucking Nightmare on Elm Street, like a dream world, almost like, it's very like Tim Burton kind of Beetlejuice-ish at times too, with the fucking black and white tiles and shit. And they go into this dream world, and I liked all that stuff. The problem is, by the time it gets to that stuff in the storyline, it's the end of the movie. And I think there would have been a better movie if maybe like halfway through this movie they go into that and they start. Because there's cool stuff that happens. And there's creepy little, you know, jingles with the teddy bear and his music and a room with this light. And like there's creepy moments that I was like, ooh, this is going to be scary. And I felt those little like hopeful feelings of wanting to be scared. And then it just didn't deliver. It just unfortunately didn't deliver. Another cool thing, while I'm giving it praise, is the fucking monster design. There's some pictures online and there's some, you know, very quick glances in the trailers, but the teddy bear turns into kind of like a fucking monsterish teddy bear and a giant monsterish teddy bear. And like, I liked the look. They approach it in a way, like a Jaws-ish way, where it's like, all right, we're not going to show a lot of him, and they don't. They keep him very, very limited, and when you see him, it's very shadowy, it's dark. But the design of that creature, I thought was great. It's also practical. So it's, from what I saw, it's not CGI. I'm sure there was some CGI using this, but it seems like it's a guy in a fucking suit running around a fucking big bear costume, an evil bear costume. And that was, I liked it, because the movements were unsettling too, with the guy in the fucking costume and just the face and the fucking claws and all that. And it looked like it had like an animatronic kind of face. That all worked. That all looked cool. And that's what makes it kind of worse, because then you see like the missed opportunities of what this movie could have been. Because it could have been like creepy little cult movie. You know, it could have been a movie that like, it was like, oh, this is a fucking creepy movie. And then 10 years from now, people would fucking still been talking about this movie. But I just think it's very forgettable because of the execution. It spends a lot of time just beating around the bush, trying to delve into, you know, they give you like little drips and drabs of this, the main character, the main actress's history, and like maybe something that happened in her childhood. And then it's all like, by the time they reveal what happens, it's like, you know what fucking happened, basically. And yet again, the goofy shit that characters are saying to explain things, and there's a lot. And then it kind of like towards the end, it feels a little rushed, you know. And then it kind of has like one ending, which was darker. It has like an ending that I was like, oh, they're fucking doing that. That's cool. Not that it was going to like, I was still going to think the movie was a steaming pile of shit, but like with the darker ending, I kind of was going to give it a little bit of an elevation, in my opinion. Cause I was going to be like, all right, this is cool. I like that they ended it that way. And then they tease that kind of dark ending, and then they immediately throw it away and have like a cliche, happy, fucking goofy joke at the end of the movie, ending. I think, and that's one thing too, to say goofy joke. I think this movie, it struggles with tone, because sometimes in a horror movie, you know, it knows what it wants to be, right? It's like, all right, we're going to be fucking scary, and there may be some sprinkled dark humor in there. Or sometimes they lean the other way, where it's like, all right, it's goofy. The subject material of this horror movie is goofy, so we're going to like play with it, and we're going to do it kind of tongue-in-cheek, and that works too. This movie is like, a lot of it is serious. A lot of it is serious, and, you know, you know, this character has trauma from her childhood and this and that. And then, like, they try to sprinkle in jokes at times that don't work. And especially at the end, there's, like, a stupid fucking joke where I was just over it at that point. But, and it's like, you know, make up your fucking mind. You know, it is about a fucking teddy bear. That's an imaginary friend. And that's a wacky subject. But, like, play it one way or the other. And that's what I think the main problem was. So, like, I really can't recommend Imaginary. I'm not going to say definitely to go out to the theater and go support it. Obviously, I always say in this podcast, you may like this movie. You may walk away liking it better than I did. And, you know, but I think it's like a rental. I think, listen, Blumhouse, what is this? Should be Lionsgate. It'll be on fucking a streaming service, like a VOD kind of rental. In like a couple of weeks, I'm sure of it, because I don't think this movie's really getting any chatter. It's kind of, I think it's one of the movies that's going to die in the water. I mean, right now, let's see, budget 10 to 12 million, not a huge budget, obviously a small horror film. Right now, box office, I mean, I'm just looking at Wikipedia right now. I don't know what the specifics of it are, but 725,000 box office. Like, so, like, it'll probably make, I'm guessing it'll probably make like 5 million or something like that come in. It's, I don't know if it's going to make its money back and shit like that, but so they'll probably pop it on sooner rather than later on the streaming rental things and just check it out like that. Cause it's like, it's, as I said, it's got some good visuals. It's a cool enough concept, but it's just poorly executed, you know, just, and I got to blame the script. I don't know. The director, Jeff Wadlow, wrote it with two other guys. So, I don't know. It just didn't do it for me. Blumhouse, as I said, kind of like a hit and miss. You know, that's another thing too. Kung Fu Panda opened up this weekend as well. So, like, that's probably going to take, you know, a lot of the box office, especially with kids and shit like that. But we'll see. I don't think Imaginary is going to really make any ripples in the water. A very forgettable horror movie. Like fucking Megan, honestly, because I felt that way about Megan, where, like, Megan had some good moments, it was a creepy concept, I liked the trailers for Megan, and then, like, when I went to go see it, it just wasn't as much fun as I wanted it to be, and now it's like, I probably won't watch Megan for another 10 years, you know, and the Imaginary feels the same way. It's like, I'm not gonna watch this movie. You know, Chauncey the Bear, whatever the hell his name is, yeah, Chauncey the Bear, it could have been cool, as I said, the creature design is very cool, but feels wasted in a movie like this. So, Imaginary, whatever. Go see it. Check it out if you want to see it. But I would recommend probably waiting until you could watch it at home if you're curious to check out what this film is. But yeah, that is the Movie Thoughts podcast for today. Check me out on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, where I post some funny videos and shit like that. Check out the other episodes. Recently I did Dune 2. I've done other movies here and there. If this is the first time you're listening, welcome to the podcast. Like, rate, review, subscribe, and all that fun stuff. Spotify, iTunes, all that fun stuff. Yeah. And check me out on the other podcast I do with my friend Ryan, the It's a Long Road Rambo podcast, where we're always talking about Rambo and Frank Stallone, and now we're in the Rambo cartoon, we're in the middle of that, and we're doing fun stuff with that. So check that out, and thanks for listening. Have a good night.